It's the Marketplace Tech Podcast for Thursday the 26th. I'm Ben Johnson in New York. Today, the Federal Communications Commission plans to vote on new so-called open internet rules. If the vote passes, the new rules will classify internet service providers, both broadband and wireless, as common carriers under what's called Title II. What this means in English is that the FCC will be able to regulate internet companies, making sure they deliver all data from the web to the user at equal speeds. This would be a big win for net neutrality advocates, the most famous of them being Tim Wu, the guy who coined the phrase in the first place. The Columbia University law professor joins us to talk more. Hi, Tim.
Pleasure.
When does a guy like you schedule his victory party?
The answer is today. Party on. It's kind of unbelievable. I think a year ago, I thought their net neutrality was done and buried, but now everything turned around in under a year.
What if you're wrong? Is this something you've thought about?
I should say, first of all, definitely been wrong about things and many things. But every once in a while, I was like, that one thing, net neutrality, now that I was right about.
You're crossing it off the list.
Yes, I am.
On to the next thing.
I'm trying to think of something to fill my time with. I mean it. I think this commission did it right. The other commissions have always sort of gotten weak at the last minute and hamstrung themselves by doing something stupid. This one hasn't. Tom Wheeler, this chairman, has used every power his agency has and thrown it behind this law, and I think it's going to survive litigation.
What do you think made him change his mind? Here's a guy who was at one point the top lobbyist for the telecom industry, and he's done something that has severely angered the telecom industry.
I think the chairman heard from a lot of startups, people who are really affected by net neutrality, and he didn't want to be the guy who was known for killing the internet or destroying the internet. He's a historian. The plot, Wheeler, lobbyist, went to the FCC, killed net neutrality, I don't think sat well with him. Instead, he wanted to be kind of like the Nixon who goes to China.
I find it really fascinating that Tom Wheeler is this chairman who's also written a book on the expansion of the telegraph.
Yeah, that's right.
I want to go back and find the evidence of his eventual decision in those pages.
That would be a good scholarly project. Sounds like something I should spend my time with as I go into retirement.
Tim Wu is a law professor at Columbia University. He's also the man who coined the phrase net neutrality. Tim, thank you very much.
Thank you.
We're taking one of our regular opportunities to go back to Back to the Future Part 2. The 1989 movie predicted a bunch of technological advances that would be around in 2015. And now that the real 2015 is here, we're exploring whether some of that predicted tech has also arrived or not. Today, biometrics, as in using retinas and fingers for identification or unlocking stuff. There's a bunch of scenes in the movie that use fingerprint biometrics, like when the police find Marty's girlfriend Jennifer unconscious in an alley.
McFly, Jennifer Jane Parker, 3793 Oakhurst Street, Hilldale, age 47.
Or when later Jennifer unlocks the front door to her house with her finger. If you've got an iPhone 6 or Samsung Galaxy Note 4, you know how far we've come. Joseph Lorenzo Hall is chief technologist at the Center for Democracy and Technology. He says, don't assume that life will fully imitate this piece of art.
Frankly, I don't think we'll ever be there, and we shouldn't be there. The problem with these kinds of things in terms of allowing you access to something like your home is that your fingerprint is not secret. If someone were to be able to produce a fake finger or something or cut your finger off, they may be able to gain access to your house, and there's nothing you can do about it if they, you know, you can't change your fingerprints easily.
So you're saying that as a security technology, it's not actually all that useful necessarily.
It's very usable. The trick is that it's really best as sort of an addition onto some other thing, be it a password or passcode on the mobile platform, or a token you may have, you know, like a security key fob or something like that. There are some systems that use harder to spoof biometrics, like vein patterns in your hand, where they highlight all the vein patterns in your hand. That's extremely hard to reproduce and very, very detailed and highly, highly identifying.
Are there privacy issues that come up as we use our biology to identify us and to give us access to things?
Holding your biometric data can be a privacy problem. But luckily, most industry elements that work in this space do a very similar thing to how we work with passwords. You don't store the passwords, you know, as you would type them in on a server when you do this. Like the iPhone, for example, doesn't store your fingerprint. It stores some abstraction of your fingerprint that's very hard to back out to your actual fingerprint. So if someone were to get into your phone, they couldn't actually steal your fingerprint.
We've talked about a lot of other technologies in the movie, like fax machines and stuff that seemed futuristic at the time, but now sort of belong in the past, I suppose, unless you're, I don't know, dealing with the IRS or something. Would you put fingerprint scanners in that category?
No, I think, you know, that was pretty prescient in the sense that they identified something that we would be using right around the time when they went back to the future the second time. I do think that they were a little overzealous in how ubiquitous those things are used. We're a little more careful with how we use these things.
Joe Lorenzo Hall is chief technologist at the Center for Democracy and Technology. Joe, thank you so much.
Absolutely. Thank you, sir.
You remember we recently covered sleep-inducing devices on our series. Evelyn Ledesma emailed us to say she's had a sleep-inducing machine since 1991. She writes, quote, "It's called a Marsona sound conditioner." Evelyn, I tip my hat to you. Your white noise maker is vintage. Send us your own thoughts and ideas at DeLoreanHistorians@gmail.com. I'm Ben Johnson, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
"What is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?"
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.